You're right. That was an obvious one.
Besides, Roderick and Argent have been friends for years. He's one of the few people Roderick knows he can trust, and vice versa, of course.
All right. One last name, Heather. Tell me about Brian de Grange.
He's been head of castle security for 7 years now. And as far as I know, he's done a very good job. It's not easy keeping things under control in a castle like this at the best of times. And when the unreal starts playing up, it can be a nightmare. Even with a steward to deal with the worst cases of the unreal, there's still a lot of general chaos seeping out of the woodwork. This court loves its intrigues, but it's hard to keep secrets in a castle where the walls literally do have ears on occasion, and ghosts walk through locked doors whenever they feel like it. So, any man who can do a good job of security under conditions like that has to be respected. And yet, I don't know anyone who feels comfortable around de Grange. I mean, he was an evil bastard in his day, one of the worst outlaws Redheart's ever known. And he only does a good job here because the Geas says he has to. And now Roderick says control of the Geas has passed to him. I don't think I like that. If Roderick can mess about with the Geas and get away with it, so could anyone else who knew how. And we wouldn't know till it was too late.
It would need someone with power. The monk, perhaps?
Or Dominic. He may be crazy, but he's been studying sorcery for years. He doesn't use it much in public, but everyone knows he's just stuffed with power.
Oh, great. Just great.
Anything else you'd like to ask me?
No, thanks. I think I'm confused enough for one day. Though I would like to know why the High Warlock made that axe for Gawain.
Simple enough, Your Highness. He was my father, and he was proud of me.
He handed Jordan his glass of wine and gave another to the Lady Heather. He then took up his position at Jordan's side again, staring resolutely straight ahead of him. Jordan looked at him speechlessly. In all his research on the High Warlock, he'd never found any mention of the Warlock having a son, let alone two as famous as the Hellstrom brothers. There was a scandal of some kind here, he could tell, but it was obvious from Gawain's rigid face and stance that he wasn't prepared to discuss the matter any further. Pity. But if he was that sensitive about it, why say anything in the first place? Jordan frowned. That was all he needed. Another damned mystery.
He chased women and he drank too much.
Jordan was still chewing on that when he noticed that the court's mutter of voices had suddenly stopped again. He looked quickly around and saw courtiers falling respectfully back as a black-cloaked figure made his way slowly across the hall toward him. Jordan let his hand fall casually to his sword belt, and then realized that the man's attention was directed toward Sir Gawain rather than him. Heather gripped his arm tightly, her face flushed with excitement and anticipation.
That's Dark John Sutton, sword for hire. He works for Dominic, mostly. I've seen him in action a few times. He's very good with a sword. This should be fun.
Jordan checked again for how far it was to the main doors. He'd heard of Dark John Sutton. 47 kills to his credit, all of them with the sword. His past was pretty much a mystery, and it seemed he liked it that way. He had no politics, no scruples, and no friends. He killed for money, and he was expensive, and he'd never once failed to carry out his commission. Jordan glanced quickly at Gawain. The knight had seen Sutton approaching and was studying him coolly. Jordan looked back at Sutton. The man's gaze was still fixed on Gawain, and he was smiling slightly. Jordan thought furiously. This was all his fault. He'd insulted Dominic, so Dominic had sent his pet assassin to take on Gawain. The question was, how close a contest was it? Gawain was one hell of a fighter, and his axe gave him an edge. But Sutton was a professional killer, and maybe 30 years younger. But when all was said and done, Jordan knew he couldn't interfere. Firstly, he doubted Gawain would let him, and secondly, the Code Duello was sacred in Redheart. If Gawain backed down from a challenge, the court would lose all respect for him. Jordan scowled fiercely. He couldn't just stand by and watch Gawain get cut down. There had to be a way out of this. There had to be. Dark John Sutton came to a halt, a few yards short of Sir Gawain. He was average height and average build, and his clothes were quiet and nondescript. His face was surprisingly bland, with little trace of strength or character in it, but his eyes were dark and steady. The sword at his side hung in a battered leather scabbard that had seen a great deal of use down the years. He could have been just another man-at-arms or mercenary, but there was an air of cold confidence about him that was subtly unnerving. His movements were calm, controlled, and very graceful. He nodded to Gawain, ignoring Jordan and Heather.
So, you're Gawain. Old man with a magic axe and a noble reputation. I could insult you, call you names, but what's the point? We both know why I'm here. We don't need an excuse to fight. It was bound to happen sooner or later.
It doesn't have to happen. You could turn and walk away.
So could you.
No, I don't do that.
Neither do I. Besides, I've already taken half the money in advance.
Don't do this. I don't want to have to kill you.
Confident, old man. I like that. Let's make a start, shall we? It's bad manners to keep our audience waiting.
Don't do this, John. You can still return the money.
Can this really be the great Gawain Hellstrom, the hero of Tower Rouge? What's the matter, old man? Does your blood run a little more thin these days? Don't worry, I'll make it quick. And you needn't worry about that nice little wife of yours. I'll send her after you, as soon as I've got a free moment.
You shouldn't have said that. Now you've made it personal.
It's more fun that way. Make room.
He didn't raise his voice much, but the courtiers around them fell back to form a wide circle. Heather tugged urgently at Jordan's arm, and he reluctantly allowed her to pull him away from Gawain to join the edge of the crowd. The courtiers watched eagerly as Sutton and Gawain took up their stances opposite each other. Jordan looked around for the regent in hopes that he would put a stop to this. Except this was a duel, and therefore sacrosanct, above and beyond the law. The regent couldn't stop it now. Nobody could. The two men began to slowly circle each other. Don't let him get you angry, Jordan said silently to Gawain. He wants you to get mad at him and wear yourself out pressing the attack. Keep your cool and make him do most of the work.
Good. You're quick. This should be fun.